Matthew chapter 16. We want to begin reading in verse number 13. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And they said, "Some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremias, or one of the prophets." He saith unto them, "But whom say ye that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." Then charged he his disciples that they should tell no man that he was Jesus the Christ. That is the reading of Matthew 16, verses 13 through 20, if correctly read. Jesus asking, you can read the scripture again, Jesus asking, "Who do men say I am?" Some said John the Baptist. Some said, "Well, they say you're Elijah." Some people say you're Jeremiah. He said, "That aside, who do you say that I am?" Nobody said a word. Maybe Peter was the first one to jump out, and he said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." Amen. Amen. And Jesus said, "You're blessed, Simon Bar-Jonah, because flesh and blood's not revealed this to you. My Father has revealed to you that I am His Son." Bible says that none of us can come to Jesus except the Father which has sent Him draw us to Jesus Christ. And I'm glad I was drawn under conviction one day to kneel at an old-fashioned altar to call on the name of Jesus. He went on to say, he said, "Upon this rock will I build my church." What rock? Is it Simon Peter? No. The rock that he's going to found the church upon is the confession of Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. The church is built upon the blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He is the foundation. He is the rock which you and I are built upon. Amen. And he says the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. The gates of hell would love to stand against the church. The gates of hell would love to divide your family tonight. But I'm telling you what, if you'll go through Jesus, amen, the gates of hell will not prevail against God's own church. Amen. He goes a little further and he says, "Peter, I'm going to give unto thee the keys of the kingdom." And it got me thinking about keys tonight. Just for a little bit, I want to talk to you about keys. Now, there was a woman. This woman had went to the shopping mall, and she was, I think, at JCPenney, and she had purchased some items, and she was got her wallet out and paying for her items, and she put her wallet back in her purse, and she it dawned on her that she didn't have her keys. She started digging through her purse, and she said, "Oh, no, I've lost my keys. I've laid them here on the counter." She began to look, and she knew she'd been to other stores, and some of you ladies are nodding your heads, and "I've done that very thing, set my keys out to get my wallet out to make my purchase." And she had lost her keys, and she began to panic. She said, "Oh, Lord, my husband's told me 1,000 times, you're going to lose them keys one day. You just lay them down anywhere. Sometimes you leave them in the car. Sometimes she's been bad to leave them in the ignition, even with the car still running, because she's so excited to go to the mall and get on with her business and do her shopping." Some of you men ought to say, "Amen. Amen." And so she got worried. "Oh, what's my husband going to say? What's my husband going to say?" And she did what any woman would do. She said, "I'm going to call the cops." So she called the cops and told them what had happened, because she had run outside and her car was gone. Not only was the key not in the ignition, but the whole car was gone. And she said, "I'm going to have to call the cops." So she called the cops. A security guard came and helped her to get the police, and the police came and they filled out a report. And then after she got that done and got an all-points bulletin looking for a car, she decided, "Now I'll call my husband." And she said, "Honey, I have left my keys, I guess, in the car. And just like you always said, now you was right,
that somebody has stolen my car, honey, and please forgive me. And he said, darling, I dropped you off today. She said, well, good. Can you come pick me up? He said, just as soon as I get rid of the police department, while I'm trying to explain why I didn't steal your car, I'll be happy to come get you. You see, there's a lot of us, we must understand that God has given us some keys, amen. Certainly, he gave to Simon Peter the keys of the kingdom. And I'm glad he didn't just lose them or lay them down. I want to say, first of all tonight, we see the keys of the kingdom. They were given to Simon Peter. And what are those keys, amen? Well, I believe it's the blood, the message, the gospel, the blood of Jesus Christ, amen. I believe the keys of the kingdom is the Spirit of God, amen, that might help us to preach, amen. The Spirit of God that might bring sweet conviction. I believe the keys of the, not just one key, but the keys of the kingdom. I believe it's also the Scripture. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. Amen. There's the Spirit. There's the Scripture. But what else? Well, it's the message about the Savior. Amen. Hallelujah. That salvation is by the blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Simon Peter has those keys. And we know that Simon Peter denied the Lord three times. Say amen. And we know that Jesus forgave him because Simon Peter went out and wept much when he realized what he'd done. And he got right with the Lord. And after the Lord was raised up again, he said, go tell my disciples and Peter where they're supposed to meet him. So he did not exclude Simon Peter. He still included him as a disciple. And we know that after Jesus was raised on 40 days where he'd walked upon the earth and he was raised into heaven, amen, we know that Simon Peter was there with that group in the upper room waiting on the Spirit of the Lord. And on the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Ghost came as a mighty rushing wind, as he fell as a fire, Simon Peter got filled with the Holy Ghost. Simon Peter got filled with the Scripture of the Word of God. Simon Peter, being led by the Savior, stood up on that day in front of that great crowd, and he began to preach to them Jesus Christ crucified for the sins of the world, Jesus Christ buried, and Jesus Christ risen again. And 3,000 people were saved that day when Simon Peter took the key, amen, of the kingdom and put it in the door and opened the door. Amen. Jesus being that door, and 3,000 were saved. Now, as yet, the Gentiles, they've not gotten it yet. But you move on along to Acts chapter 10, and Simon Peter was up praying on top of the house, and the Lord lowered down a sheet and had all this different type of food on it. And he said, take and eat. And Simon Peter said, some of those items are unclean items, and I'm not going to partake as a Jew of unclean items. And he said, what I've cleansed, call thou not common. Right. Amen. Right. In other words, you go on and preach to them Gentiles. Amen. You may feel like they're an outcast. You may feel like they're a dog. But you stand up and preach to them. Amen. And about that time, amen, there were some men came looking for Simon Peter. Yeah. And they said, listen, there's a man named Cornelius. He's inquiring what to do of God. And God sent us down here to get a hold of you, that you would tell us, Simon Peter, what needs to be done. Simon Peter says, I think I'll just go with God. And he followed that crowd, amen. And he went back there where them Gentiles were, where it was not even right for him to walk into the house. He said, what God has cleansed, I'm not going to call common. He took the key, put it in the door, began to preach to them Gentiles. He preached Jesus Christ crucified for the sins of the world, Jesus Christ buried, Jesus Christ risen again. Cornelius and his whole household got saved, and the door was open to the Gentiles. Hey, I want to say tonight, Jesus is the door that is open. Hey, he's the one that's open and no man can shut, and the one that one day will shut and no man can open. Praise God, the door's still open tonight, church. Before Jesus comes in the rapture, the door's still open. The keys of the kingdom has already unlatched the door. That night I got saved. When the man of God preached to me, I didn't have to go, listen, I didn't have to go get the keys of the kingdom and unlock the door. It was already open. All I had to do was come as I was. Whosoever will, let him call upon the name of the Lord, and whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, he'll be saved. Amen. I'm glad tonight I've been born again. I've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. That's the keys of the kingdom tonight, amen. I want to say, second of all, well, I want to leave this point just a second. In the midnight hour, Paul and Silas, having blood on their back, pain in their body, shackled in a prison cell, there they sit. What did they do in the midnight hour? They begin to pray, and they begin to praise the name of Jesus. The door already being open, they begin to call on the name of the Lord. They took the key of praise. They took the key of prayer, and they begin to call on the Lord. And the Bible says that God inhabits the praise of His people. And He was pleased to come down amongst them and sent an earthquake and shook the foundation of that prison. And every man's prison door was open. The jailer thought he'd kill himself because he was responsible if all those men escaped. But amen. Hey, Paul said, "Do thyself no harm, for we are all here." And about that time, that jailer called for a light. He sprang in there and fell down on the ground and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And they said, "If you'd believe on the name of Jesus, thou shalt be saved." Aren't you glad, amen, that old jailer got saved that night? Took them boys, the boys he had beaten, the boys he had put lashes on their back. He began to wipe their stripes to try to produce healing. Took them back to his house and said, "Here's my wife, here's my family. Tell him about Jesus." And the whole family got saved. The keys of the kingdom, amen, church. The door is already open. Amen. Second of all, there is the key of knowledge. The key of knowledge. In Luke chapter 11, verse 52, Jesus made this statement. He said, "Woe unto the lawyers, for you have taken away the key of knowledge." Now, what is that key of knowledge? It is the very facts, the Word of God, the lawyers, these that come back and say, "Well, there's got to be a better way. There's got to be more to it than just Jesus. You can't be so narrow-minded to believe that Jesus is the only way." Let me tell you tonight, amen, these lawyers, they've gone off to school and got their big old college degrees, amen, but they've lost their common sense, and now their sense is corrupted. They don't believe in the gospel, amen. They have tried to come and hinder the preaching of the word, and they try to take away or hide the key of knowledge. I'm going to ask you a question now. Have you ever lost your keys? Has somebody ever played hide and go seek with you with your keys? And I'm telling you what, you got to sweating so bad it wasn't funny anymore. Amen. I'm telling you what, there's a crowd running around today that would love to take the key of knowledge of the Word of God away from you. Amen. So that you can't get it anymore, so that you can't understand it. I want to tell you what, I don't care how many degrees you've got, you can hang them from your beard all the way to the ground. But if you don't come by the blood of Jesus Christ, friend, you've never been redeemed. We're having baptism tonight. And I don't care if you've been baptized so many times sitting in this church service tonight that the tadpoles knows your first name. If you didn't come by the blood of Jesus, you're not even redeemed. You need to be saved. Born again by the blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That key of knowledge, how can I get that key of knowledge, preacher? I need knowledge. I need wisdom. The Bible says in the book of James chapter 1 verse 5, "If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God." Amen? The Bible says, "Who giveth to all men liberally, who upbraideth not." Hey, he said, if we'd ask, it shall be given. If we seek, we shall find. If we knock, it shall be opened unto us. The key of knowledge. Do you need to understand more of the Word of God?
Yeah. Amen.
Four people said, "I want to know more about the Word of God." Boy, I'll be here till 10 o'clock tonight. You better get with it, amen? Let me tell you what, all your common sense, your worldly sense, your college sense, let me tell you what it does for you, friend. It brings corruption. You must come with a childlike faith and believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. You can be saved, and the Word of God just begins to open up to you. And the key of knowledge is obtained through prayer. There was an old boy. He was raised up. His daddy was a miner, owned a couple different mines up in the West Virginia hills, and the boy went off to school. And he come back with his great big college degree, and he told his daddy about where all he was failing in the daddy's business. Said, "You're failing here, you've mismanaged there, this is a mistake here. Daddy, you don't even know nothing about running a business." He'd been running a business for over 25 years, and the boy come in and told him he was doing it all wrong. And so finally the daddy said, "Listen, I've had enough of all your mumbo jumbo about all the mistakes I'm making." He said, "I'll tell you what, I'm going to give you part of your inheritance, and I'm going to give it to you now. I'm going to give you your own mine to manage." And the boy said, "I sure will appreciate it, Daddy. And I'll show you what a college degree can do." and he was going to prove to his daddy that he would make that mine go further and make him richer than all his daddy's 25 years put together could have ever done. And that old boy started working, doing research about, you know, science this and technology that and advancements and all these things. And it began to rain outside. And there was a hole in that mine shaft. And it began to fill his mine up with water. And the boy didn't know what on earth. I mean, he couldn't open enough places to get the water out. And he began to, he was concerned. He had studied. He didn't know what to do. And he went back to his daddy and said, "Daddy, we've never had a rainstorm just like this. We got all kind of problems. The mine's filling up with water. Daddy, what on earth am I going to do?" He said, "Son, take your college degree and stick it in the hole. See if that'll stop it up, amen." Hey, glory to God, I'm going to tell you what. You can have all the degrees you want to, but if you don't come through Jesus Christ, honey, you're not getting in. Amen. That's the key of knowledge, amen. Amen. Thirdly tonight, there is the key to the king's house. Jesus said that he was the one that had the key of David. He's the one that openeth and no man shutteth, and he's the one that shutteth and no man openeth. What does that key of David mean? Now listen, we've all got keys. I've got personal keys. I've got church keys. I've got keys of laws, keys that right now, some of these, I've not used them in so long, I don't even know what it goes to. I mean, there's been many a time, look at me, many a time I've stood at a door trying to figure, does this key? Nope. Is this key? Nope. Is this key? Nope. I ain't got any of them keys that'll open that door. I got all these keys and not one of them opens that door. Say amen. You got keys all over your house. You don't know what they are. Hey, man, it surprised you to figure out you've not used them in so long. You and I've got a key of knowledge we could use, amen, but we don't know. We've lost it. We misuse it, amen. We misplace it. Glory to God, we forgot that we still can learn the Word of God. Then the key to the king's house or the king's throne, you know what he told us? He said that we can come boldly to the throne of grace, that we might obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. Hey, the Father has given you keys to His house, to His throne room. Amen. Why in the world aren't we accessing? You know what keys are about then? Keys are about power. Keys are about authority. Keys are about responsibility. God has given you, as a child of God, some authority. God's given you some responsibility. He's allowing you to carry some keys. And you have access right to the king's throne room. All you've got to do is come by the blood. All you've got to do is come in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. And things have changed in your life. I promise you that. Last of all, there are keys of keeping right here in these verses. Keys of keeping. Jesus begins to mention that the gates of hell. There are gates in hell. Do you understand that? And the Bible would tell us in the book of Revelation 1:18, Jesus said this. He said, "I am he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. I have the keys of death and the keys of hell." Now, when Jesus died, why didn't he stay dead? Because he had the power. Because he had the authority. He just unlocked death and he got up victorious over death, hell, and the grave. Amen. And for the child of God tonight, you were dead in trespass and sin, and he unlocked it for you, amen. And let, glory to God, came to your prison cell, hallelujah, and unlocked it for you, unshackled you, and allowed you to have life. Bless his holy name. And one day when death comes to this old mortal body and we take our last breath here, amen, whoop, glory to God, death will not hold us. For when we take our last breath here and the doctor pulls a sheet up over our head, it's not over. We've moved over to the other side and we're in glory, amen, because Jesus has the keys. But now hell has gates. Jonah says that hell has bars around it. Guess what Jesus has done? He's locked the gates. If you die in your sins, the Bible says it's appointed unto men once to die. And after this, the judgment. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. And if you die in this life and you go to a devil's hell, you'll be chained up, barred up, gates locked in that place. Torment, flames, agony. Friend, You'll hear such screams. You'll be around such people that you'll never, ever want to be around, but you'll be around them forever and ever. And you'll be begging, oh God. I heard Preacher Darren say that Jesus has the keys of death and he has the keys of hell. I'm ready to get right now, Lord. Will you get me out of this place? I'm tormented in this flame. Oh, would you help me in this place? But God's going to say, depart from me, I never knew you. The only time you'll ever get out of hell is to stand before him at the great white throne judgment. And having stood at that place, he will say, depart from me, you cursed. I never knew you. And he'll throw you into the lake of fire where you'll be burning and tormented forever and ever and ever. And friend, I'm promising you, hell was a picnic compared to standing before God that final time and him casting you out. There'll be nobody saved at that great white throne judgment. Preacher, why do you say that? He says it's a great white throne. White because there's no blood available. You've waited too late. So in conclusion tonight, church, I want to say this to you and I will be done. There was a man by the name of Harry Houdini. Harry Houdini was a sensational escape artist. There would be all kinds of tricks and stunts he'd pull. He'd get shackled up and somehow he'd get loose. It was all some type of a trick or stunt. And one time he got himself in a straitjacket hanging upside down. People looking on, watching, and somehow he slipped out of that straitjacket. And they were amazed. Then he devised a milk can trick. And they took one of these big old milk cans, took the top off of it, filled it up with water, put him down inside of it. He said, hold your breath with me. How long can you hold your breath? And he got down inside that can where he was shackled and locked in there. And it looked like people was holding their breath and said, I can't take it no more. How in the world's Harry Houdini going to do this? But the entire time he had a trick to it, amen, and he escaped out of that milk can. And man, they said, boy, that guy's unbelievable. I just can't believe all the stunts he's pulled and the way that he's got out. I want to tell you what, I could go on and on about the things he's done. But at 52 years of age, death came to Harry Houdini. And when death came to Harry Houdini, he couldn't get out of it. Death will hold all men but Jesus. Death will hold all men but the ones that Jesus Christ has saved. Amen. Death had a hold of my Savior and said, I've got him now. He'll not get out of my clutches. But Jesus on that third day said, looky what I got. I got the keys, amen. And up from the grave he arose, amen. I want to tell you what, he's got the authority. He's got the power. Hey, some of you tonight, you've been kept in sin's prison. You've been backslid. There's things in your life that you need, things you pleaded for. I'm the preacher, how can I get it? Just go to Jesus. He's got the keys. He can unlock the, listen, he can unlock heaven's storeroom. Woo! And open up a blessing and pour it out for you from the windows of heaven that you won't even have room to receive it. Amen. You see, tonight God's given us some keys. You think about when you go to your house, what do you do with your keys? Well, I leave them in my purse. Or some of you fellas, I hope you ain't carrying a purse. It's a different message. When I come into my house, I take my keys. And on the right-hand side, when I walk in, I've got a key hook. And there's a lot of keys there, brother. I looked at them in preparation for this message, and I thought, I don't even know what some of them unlock. It does unlock something. I remember I used to carry that key. I used to use it a lot. But I don't know what it's even for anymore. I've not used it in so long. Somebody sitting in this place tonight, you ain't used this altar in so long. You ain't used the keys God's given you in so long. The key of praise. When's the last time you just praised him? Huh? Well, preacher, I just did tonight in the choir. I let her fly. Good for you. When's the last time you praised him? Preacher, I was sitting here tonight and I said, amen, where everybody could hear it. Even if the devil's here himself, he could hear me say, amen. But you may sit here and say, well, I'm just not a vocal person. I'm not one to speak out much. I saw you at the ball game, so don't tell me that. And you just sit on your hands. I'm going to ask you tonight, doesn't my God deserve a little praise? Amen. Sister Maria said this means amen. had got about 10 people out of 200, amen, said amen. I'm telling you what, some of you, you've not used your keys of prayer. Oh, preacher, I breathe. I'm telling you what, to hit an old-fashioned altar, man, you wouldn't move if it hair-lipped the devil. You've sat back there for years and said, well, that's for everybody else. That's a place where the sinners go. It is. I'm one of them. I use it frequently, amen. But it's also a place where the redeemed go. It's a place where we go to get right with God. It's a place where we go to worship Him. It's a place where we go to fellowship with Him. It's a place where we go to commune with Him. It's a place where you and I can have the hand of God just reach down upon us, amen, and touch us. It's a place where we can access His throne. Yes. Our problem is we're not using our keys, church. God's given us power to use the keys of prayer and the keys of praise and those keys of promise. Hey, there's times you can take a verse and say, God, now You promised. You'd never leave me or forsake me. And Lord, somehow I'm feeling mighty alone right now. Well, I prayed there before, do you know? I've had a presence. Don't y'all shout. This is my shout time now. I've had a presence surrounded me, sat down with me, amen, encouraged me. Glory to God. He's the closest friend I've ever had. I can share with Him the most intimate details of my heart. I can tell Him all my wants, all my wishes, all the things that I'm going through, and He understands it every step of the way. Woo! He's a friend that's sticking closer than any brother. He's somebody I can rely on, somebody I can count on, somebody's not going to go out here and talk about me and say, did that preacher really say that? How come he preached along? It was baptism night tonight. Why in the world did he get so happy? I tell you why, amen, because God's been good to me.